Genesis chapter number 3, and let's stand together. We're going to read several verses, and then we'll be seated this morning. Genesis chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord." By the way, you know when you're not doing right. You don't have to wait till you come to church on Sunday if you're a child of God to know. You have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. You know what's wrong is wrong. The Bible says they hid themselves in the presence from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman..." That's pretty good blame game, isn't it? "The woman." What's wrong with you today, man? "The woman." "The man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." By the way, what I would really say about that man's a sissy. Blaming his wife instead of showing the leadership he needs to show. Verse 13, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Now, I want to preach this morning on the tricks of Satan and the triumph of the saints. The tricks of Satan and the triumph of the saints. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless the message this morning? I pray, God, you give me strength, give me clarity of thought and voice. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll bring conviction on us today. Help us, Lord, to see how the devil tricks us into believing wrong or into acting wrong and somehow thinking we're going to get away with it. And then help us, Lord, today to see how we win the victory over Satan, over the old serpent, over the devil. And I pray that you'll bless. Lord, if there's someone in here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. Knock at their heart's door today, I beg you, please. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to say right up front this morning, and teenagers, I want you to listen on purpose. And if you goof off, I'm going to stop you because this message can help you get through your junior high and your high school years. But I want to say this right up front this morning. And why I can't say morning this morning, probably because I'm still asleep. But I want to say this right up front. Satan is a liar. Yep. Period. He's a liar. We see it there in verse number 3, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it." This is Eve saying what God said, "You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." The serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die." There's one problem with that. That's a lie. Yep. Look at chapter 2 there in verse number 16. "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." One chapter later, the devil saying, "I know God's word says that, but you're not going to die. I know what the word of God says about sin, but hey, you're special. You can get away with it, unlike other children of God." The devil will lie to you. The Bible says this about the devil. Jesus said this specifically in John 8:44. He's speaking to the Pharisees, but he says this: "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning And by the way, the devil wants to kill and to steal and to kill and to destroy. Wants to destroy your life. He's still a murderer today. And the Bible says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he, the devil, is a liar and the father of it. See, the thing is, the devil is a liar. Now, God, on the other hand, not only will not lie to you, God cannot lie to you according to the Word of God, because the Bible says in Titus 1 and verse 2, it also says it over in Numbers 23, but in Titus 1 and verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world begins. So, while there is no truth in Satan, John 1:14 tells us that God is full of grace and truth. So we'd be better off to trust the Word of God with our life. Now, God gave His Word to Adam and Eve. He promised to bless their life. He desired fellowship with Adam and Eve. And I believe that they truly desired fellowship with Him. I don't believe today that most Christians fall into sin and disobedience on purpose. I just think, first of all, we just aren't careful enough. We're not careful enough where we're surfing online. We're not careful enough what crowd we put ourselves around. I think that, you know, the Bible teaches us to be sober. That means be serious-minded. That means in control. That means I can't live my life not only as a teenager but as an adult. I can't just freely, on a whim, make crazy decisions for my life. I'm to be serious-minded. It says not only be sober, but we're to be vigilant. The word vigilant means watchful. It means attentive to discover and avoid danger. God said, be sober. Life is not a big game. Be vigilant. You need to be watchful, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, roameth about seeking whom he may devour. So I don't think Adam and Eve just on purpose said, you know what, we're going to sin, we're going to ruin our life, we're going to ruin the life of our kids, we're going to ruin everyone's life from here on out. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're born sinners today because of what Adam and Eve did there in the Garden of Eden. I don't think they did it on purpose. I think they just were not careful enough. Now, here's the truth. What happened to Adam and Eve can happen to any of us. Eve said it, and I know it's excuse-making, but really it's truth. She said it in Genesis 3:13. The Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She said, the devil deceived me. She said, the devil tricked me. Revelation 12 tells us that the devil deceives the whole world. And that's what Eve said. She said, what happened was, I let the devil fool me into thinking I could disobey God and still be okay. Hey folks, listen, the devil is a master at making people think things that are not true. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. There are a lot of those today. A lot of people on TV that are fake, they're of the devil, they're robbing people of their money and their investments and their retirements, and I mean they're of the devil, and the Bible says that. And it says, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. So, there are a lot of ministers of Satan today who don't preach, thus saith the Lord. They preach their own wisdom, if you will. They preach their own, oh, they'll throw in spiritual words. But they're looking for the money. They're looking for, they've gone the way of Balaam. They're looking for reward. They're looking for people to send their money in. Here's the thing we need to remember. The devil's a liar. But if God says it, that must settle it for our life. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter number 2. First John chapter number 2. I'll give you a second to turn there. Oh, how the devil will get us to, we'll know a passage of Scripture, we'll read a passage, we'll apply it to our life, we'll memorize it, we'll know exactly what the Bible says, but then the devil will say, well, you know, that's not exactly what God said, when it's in plain black and white in the Bible. I want you to see this in 1 John chapter 2, it's a familiar passage, and then we're going to apply it to the rest of the message, but 1 John chapter 2, and verse number 15, the Bible says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You've seen this before, but I think it's worth reminding us of today. Look at verse 16 again. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. If you write in your Bible, the lust of the flesh would be to do. Then it says, and the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes is to have. And then it says, the pride of life. The pride of life is to become. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing. I like to go on trips. I like to go to the Smoky Mountains. I like to go to Galveston. I like to, if we could take a cruise, that's wonderful. I like to go to Grandma's up in Arkansas. Nothing wrong with doing things until we do things that take us out of the will of God or that are contrary to the will of God for our life. Nothing wrong with having things. I have different tools that I've bought, collected over the years as I've worked around here and at my house. And I like having that. I like having a good truck to drive. I just like having a truck to drive. You go up to like Chicago or somewhere there, and I mean, all you see is these extension cords and all these electric cars running around. I mean, I ain't against them if you want an electric car, but man, there's something about stepping up on that rail that has mud on it and getting in your truck. I used to have pipes on some of my old trucks, and I cranked up beside another F-150 the other day, and his went boom, 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 and mine went. And I thought, maybe I just need to take it a step. Maybe I just, Brother B.G. Buchanan used to say, he said, I go get a lift kit put on it so it didn't look like a city truck worker's vehicle. And I thought, man, that's what I need right there. Nothing wrong with having some things. You ever heard this? Nothing wrong with having things. We just can't let things have us. But Pastor, I can't be there Sunday night. Got to work. Can't be there Wednesday night. Got to work. Got this voluntary overtime because we got to have more stuff. You're in love with the world. The Bible talks about the seed being planted in our hearts and bringing forth fruit, and it makes mention of this, how it falls, some falls on stony ground and so forth. And it makes mention of this, it says that for some people the seed begins to work greatly, and it makes this statement, other things begin to get in the way. Other things become more important. Young people, I'm for sports. I'm for activity. I'm for involvement. But love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, that's to do. The lust of the eyes, that's to have. It's Christmas time. It will be soon. And all we'll see is these commercials. And buy this. And Black Friday here. And this is discounted. And you drive by and you see billboards. Why? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. We see these things. We go to a restaurant and there's a menu. Oh, that looks good. Again, nothing wrong with having some things. What's wrong is when our entire life is spent having things. The pride of life, to become. Nothing wrong again with becoming. You ought to be the very best employee there is at your place of employment. But when that is the center of our life, if I want more promotion and I want more titles and I want more money and hey, will you teach that class? I don't have time. Will you run a bus route? I don't have time. Will you show up to soul winning? I don't have time. You're going to be at church on Wednesday night. I don't have time. Why? Because I'm so busy becoming. And the Bible says about all of that, the world passeth away. I'm for becoming. My son's not called to ministry right now, and he'll graduate this spring, and I want him to be whatever God wants him to be. God wants him to be a millionaire. I'm for it, man. Pay me back, sucker. I mean, bags of Doritos I bought in my life. I'm for it, but I'm never for him becoming a millionaire and not be able to go to church and not serve God and not do something with his life that's for the cause of Christ. Every time I work on a different remodeling or building project, done a lot this year, we always do stuff at the church. Last year we built the gym. This year I've spent all my extra time at my house since May remodeling our house and pulled up some carpet the other day. We're getting some new carpet put in and realized we had holes in our floor that we didn't know were there. Just an old house. I pulled the carpet and the pad up and I'm seeing dirt underneath the house there. So I spent a couple of evenings this week replacing flooring there. And I have all kinds of tools but here's the thing, you know, when I get done with that and we're finally about to land the plane on that is finally for the most part about to be done. We're going to be starting on these baptistry rooms, this baptistry window, all that's about to be updated. I don't go buy an entirely new set of tools. I use the same old tools. I can work with Brother Smith here, and when we're done, we know whose hammer's whose. We know whose pry bar is whose, because he's used the same old worn-out tools for years. Now, I want to take that lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, and I want to show you how the devil's tools never change. Turn back to Genesis chapter number 3. Young people, I wish you'd get this today. I know it's not youth camp. I know we're not singing a bunch of a cappella songs and making you leave your phone at home and y'all get all spiritual there. Y'all just get spiritual on a Sunday morning and decide I'm going to give my life back to God and quit worrying about everything the world has to offer. Genesis chapter number 3 here where Eve said, "The devil tricked me." You know how he did it? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Look at verse number 6, Genesis 3:6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," that's to do, eat, "and that it was pleasant to the eyes," that's to have, lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired, look here, "to make one wise," that's the pride of life, "to become." See what Satan did there? What'd she do? She took of it and did eat. See, there was, in that verse, there was assumption. The woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, tree to be desired to make one wise. So she starts thinking, this is good for me. Even though God said it wasn't. This is good for me. This is right for me. I can get away with this. I know others haven't gotten away with it, but I'm special. I can get away with this. There was assumption, but then also in that verse I see there was consumption. In verse 6, "She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and God also gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So her mindset might have been something like this. You know, a little bit won't hurt me. One time won't kill me. And you know what you read the rest of the chapter? You read about destruction. And ultimately, all those curses put on them. And ultimately, verse 22, "The Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the garden from whence he was taken." By the way, don't miss that doctrinal truth we just passed right there. The tree of life, eaten and live forever, was in that same garden. And God never said you can't partake of that. So when he said, "The day thou partakest thereof, thou shalt surely die," you say they didn't die, so God's word must not have been true. They died spiritually on that day, and they signed ultimately their physical death certificate on that day. And the Bible, in a couple of different places, I can't quote it, but in Ecclesiastes it tells us, because judgment against a sin is not executed speedily. Because we're not zapped immediately, we think we're getting away with it, and we're not. And God drove the man out of the Garden of Eden. And I want to say that Adam and Eve did not triumph over Satan's tricks. But I want to tell you about someone else in the Bible. One of the most well-known names in the Bible. If you turn to Hebrews chapter number 11, that great hall of faith. One of the most well-known names in the Bible is Moses. The Bible tells us that Moses died at 120 years old. How many of you would like to live to be 120 years old? Neither would I. But the thing about it is, the Bible says that Moses died at 100, get this, 120 years old, with full strength and perfect eyesight. I'm 46. I'll be 47 next Sunday. My back hurts and I can't see. Moses died at 120 years old, and God allowed him to have perfect eyesight, full strength, all of his life. Now, his childhood and his teen years, you know the story of his life from Sunday school, his childhood, his teen years, and his young adult years were spent in Egypt. At about 40 years old, God put Moses on the backside of the desert to prepare him for what God had in store. At 80 years old, God used Moses to lead the Hebrew people out of Egypt. So he led the people out of Egypt from the age of 80 to 120 until God took him to heaven. We would all agree this morning that Moses was a man greatly used of God. The truth is this, at 40 years of age, Moses had to triumph over the tricks of the devil. Look at it there in Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible is going to tell us here. It's not going to give us the 40 year. We know that from other texts. But the Bible is going to tell us here that at that age is when he had to choose to leave Egypt. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By the way, I think by faith is the reason why a lot of people just won't completely sell out to God. You don't have enough faith to believe he's going to take care of you. Not enough faith to believe, you know. I don't know what's going to happen with my marriage. How about you just completely start living by faith? I don't know what's going to happen to all of my friends. They may leave me. Why don't we just live by faith? Well, I don't know what will happen to my career if they find out I'm a Christian. I may not get a promotion. Hey, God may have a better promotion in store for you. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt. We all know Egypt's a picture of the world in the Bible. Love not the world. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He had his eyes on Christ, looking unto Jesus. Here's the trick. The lust of the flesh, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's the lust of the flesh to do. Eve lost the battle. Moses won the battle. We need to remember this morning, pleasures of sin only last for a season. I was reading through Proverbs 7 this morning for tonight, for the men's prayer meeting tonight, and really, guys, most of chapter 7 is the same thing we've read the last two or three chapters. And basically it's telling this, don't allow yourself to fall into some adulterous situation. Don't allow yourself to get in that kind of a sin, that kind of mess that will destroy your life. Pleasures of sin for a season. We all remember near the prodigal son, his season ended, didn't it? How about David, Bathsheba, his season ended. But he didn't just hit an altar and say, God, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. David said in Psalm 51, he said, my sin is ever before me. And I believe even after he got forgiveness of that sin and moved forward, the mess that it created in his family for the rest of his life, his sin was ever before him. He always knew, oh, I never should have done that. The lust of the flesh, Moses. Look at verse 26. Here's the lust of the eyes to have. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Could have had anything he wanted. And he walked away from it and said, that's not the will of God for my life. And then we see the pride of life back in 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see that? I mean, you could be big time in Egypt there, Moses, and he was. You could be big time, and he said, but that's not the will of God for my life. Guess what? Because of that, he's pretty big time in the things of God in our memory, isn't he? Look over at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. So Moses triumphed over the tricks of the devil. You know, our greatest example in Scripture is not Moses. The greatest example we have in Scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. He's the greatest example we could ever follow, but yet the devil attempted to destroy Christ. Guess what? With the same old tools and the same old tricks and the same ones that he'll use on you and I. There in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus has been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. I believe this gospel, Matthew 4, makes it specifically clear. It wasn't after all of that Jesus was tempted. I believe he was tempted the devil all the way through it. But look here in Matthew 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. All right, we're going to see it again. Here comes the devil with his tricks. Remember, he's trying to keep Christ from dying for our sins on the cross of Calvary at this point. The lust of the flesh to do. Christ is starving 40 days. I'm going to guess no one in here has ever fasted 40 days. I know people who have. I'm not one of them. But I know people who have. It can be done, but goodness, 40 days. I'm starving right now. And the Bible, and guess what? The devil knows where we're weak. Verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You see that lust of the flesh to do? You're hungry, aren't you? It's not going to hurt you. You're the Son of God. You've got great power. Why don't you just turn these rocks into biscuits? The lust of the flesh to do. And then look at the lust of the eyes to have. Look at verse number 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, all these things will I give thee to have. Oh, your preacher's just old-fashioned. Your preacher just likes to yell. I mean, come on, no perfect people. Come on, it's okay. You can live this way. You can do that. He's just old-fashioned. The Bible's old-fashioned. You can get away with it. He tempted him also there with the pride of life to become. Look at verse 5. Remember Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus didn't come to get a big name. Jesus came and took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And I'm telling you, if you'll just live your life for God, God will do bigger things for you than what the stinking lying devil will make you think. And so he says there in verse number 5, he says, the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. He said, why don't you show everybody who you are? Pride of life. I'll tell you who I am. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus triumphed over Satan's trickery. Let me ask you a question. Are you triumphing today? Are you winning the battle against Satan's fleshly tools? Again, is there anything wrong with doing some things? No, I enjoy a trip. I enjoy being able to hunt a little bit. I enjoy working, remodeling. I enjoy work. I enjoy sitting down and preparing sermons. It's tiring, but I enjoy those things. Nothing wrong with doing some things. I like to have some things here and there. Nearly 23 years of marriage and 21 years of pastoring and staying in the same home all these years. And you know, I've got my storage building and I've got my good mower and just stuff that just over the years, nothing wrong with having stuff. Becoming, if God wants you to be the CEO of the company, that's wonderful. I'll tell you this to you guys, you young men that are here, and even any of you men in here. We need more preachers. You don't surrender because the pastor asked you to, and you don't do it to impress the youth pastor, impress your dad or your mom. You do it because you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt in your heart, that's what God has called you to do. Because when whom God calls, God equips. And you can't quit on the call of God upon your life if it's truly there. We need preachers. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And you ought to at least desire to serve God enough to hit the altar and say, God, whatever you want from my life, I'll do it. And I don't care if you're the chief of police of Wills Point. I don't care if you're the best plumber in Wills Point. I don't care if you're the next pastor of the church. As long as it's the will of God for your life. But the whole time you're trying to do something for God, the devil's going to be saying, listen, all those people up there, they're crazy, they're nuts. You just come on with me and I'll give you things you never could have dreamed of. Just one night, just one moment, just one time in your life. Listen, the devil is a liar. God wants to use you greatly, but Satan greatly wants to destroy your life. So how do we triumph over Satan's tricks? How do we triumph over Satan's tricks? Here's what happened in Matthew 4. You know this. You've heard this before. But he answered and said, verse 4, it is written. In verse number 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written. In verse number 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Hey, it's the word of God that's going to help us win the victory. Look at James chapter 1. Let me give you three thoughts here and we'll be done this morning. How are we going to win this battle? It's the same old tools. It's not like the devil's going to run to Home Depot every time and get a new tool. It's the same stuff he used in the Garden of Eden. It's the same stuff he used on Moses. It's the same tricks and tools he used on Christ. It's the same tricks and tools he's used on others in this church. And he'll use on you and he'll use on me. So we either get defeated by the devil or we triumph over Satan's tricks. I'll give you three thoughts here. How do we triumph over Satan's tricks? Number one, believe the promises of God. If God says it, that settles it. There is no in-between. There is, he didn't really mean that. If God said you're going to die, you're going to die. Well, he didn't really mean, did God say you can't eat of all the trees of the garden? That ain't even what God said. See, the devil wants to confuse you. Sin will confuse you. Being around the wrong crowd will confuse you. Hey, we need to believe the promises of God. Look at James 1 and verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity or overabundance of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Folks, listen. I'm going to say it in East Texas wording. That ain't talking about salvation. Because in verse 19, he already said, wherefore, my beloved brethren. I realize the truth of the Word of God saves our souls by believing it. But I believe he's saying there, you want to save your soul from trouble? You want to save your life from a mess? We need to get in the Bible. Let the Bible get in us. Verse 22. Here's what he says in verse 22. You're not going to read this, but here's what it says in verse 22. Stop coming to church just to get a good sermon. Oh, that's good, preacher. And that story you told, that joke, and that made me laugh. Look what he says in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Always reminds me of the Fonz on Happy Days when he walked up and he's going to comb his hair and he goes, hey. And there are a lot of folks that come to church and the Word of God will be preaching. They'll say, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm going to be all right. I know what that preacher's saying, but he gets paid to say that. That's his job, to be the man of the cloth. But that's not for me, and that's not how it's going to affect my life, and that's not what the devil will do to me, and I'll be okay and I'll get away with it. We need to just believe the promises of God. He says, don't be the type, and by the way, the time to do business with God is when God is doing business with you. When God puts that mirror, whether it be preaching, whether it be a personal devotion, whether it be something, preaching or teaching on YouTube or something, God puts that mirror in your face and you go, ugh, he's talking to me. That's when it's time. That's what God says there. That's when it's time to make a commitment to Christ right then. And by the way, write it down and be accountable to someone for it. He says in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. What did God, what did the Lord say? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's continuing, that's dwelling. Staying in the Bible, staying in church, continueth therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know how we triumph over Satan? We believe the promises of God. What we want in our life are the blessings of God upon our life. And God says, do it my way. Live the way I want you to live. Live according to the word of God, and you will be blessed. Your way will be prosperous. You will find great success. Remember, we're not talking about this. If God gives you that, great, that's wonderful. That's not our aim in life. Our aim in life is that Christ Jesus will be magnified through our body, through our life, the things we do. So how do we triumph over Satan? Number one, we have to believe the promises of God. Number two, we need to heed the warnings of God. We need to heed the warnings of God. So, preacher, you're saying if God said it in that book, and then God will do that in my life. Hey, if God promised it to you, yes. Every promise in the book is mine. I mean, yes. But we have to believe that and say, you know what, I'm going to do it God's way. It may be hard. I may lose some friends. I may not see what my next step is, but I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not into my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge Him. I'm going to get in that book. And if the book says it, that settles it for my life. I'm just going to take God at His word. And devil's over here saying, but if you'll just kind of, a little bit of this won't hurt you. And they're just a little overboard over there. And if you'll just, hey, listen, I tell you what, when I used to take my kids to the zoo or someplace like that or Six Flags or whatever, I didn't put them right there on top of the fence and say, hey, I'm going to keep you out of underneath that roller coaster. I'm going to keep you out of the alligator pond, but I'm going to let you stand on the fence. You know what I did? Keep them back as far as I can. There is no way to live too holy. None. No way to live too separated of a life. And there are a lot of Christians today that just want to ride that fence between the world and the will of God. Let's believe the promises of God. Number two, let's heed the warnings of God. In Genesis 2:17, He told them, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And in chapter 3 and verse 4, the devil said, ye shall not surely die. Let me ask you a question. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 quickly, if you would. We'll be out right on time. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Same old tricks. Devil says, let me show you what you can do. Let me show you what you can have. Let me show you what you'll become if you follow me. If you'll just... You'll be okay. I know God said this, but maybe He didn't really say that. Do everything you can to confuse you. How do we win the battle? We believe the promises of God. Number two, we heed the warnings of God. Look at Deuteronomy 6. We're going to read several verses. I realize this was to the children of Israel, but I believe the same application can be made in our life today. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Didn't we just read that in James? Observe to do. That it may be well with thee. Didn't he talk about the blessings of God? And that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What do you mean there, preacher? We ought to have some spiritual conversations in our house. Not a bunch of cussing and fighting and all the nonsense. Verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. God's saying, what I want is I want the Word of God to saturate your home and your family. Verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Now he's going to talk about the blessings of an obedient child of God. Houses full of all good things which thou fillest not. Wells dig which thou diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full of the blessings of God. Then we have to heed the warnings. Verse 12. Then beware. Lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, on purpose obey God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. How do we live for God and conquer Satan and all of his tricks? We believe the promises of God. We read the Bible and we believe that, hey, God said it, that settles it in my life. I'm just going to obey God in that particular area of my life. We heed the warnings of God. There's warnings. Beware that you don't turn from God. There are many other warnings in the Bible about what sin will do to you. How do we triumph over the tricks of Satan? We believe the promises of God. We heed the warnings of God. Then the last one is this. We claim the victory of God. We claim the victory of God. See, here's the truth taught in the Bible. Satan is already a defeated foe. He knows that. Christ whipped him at the cross of Calvary and at the garden tomb. And here's the thing, that God has given you and I the power to defeat the temptations that the devil throws our way. Please get that. Young people, I'm done. I'm just about done. Adults, all of us. Well, the devil made me do it. Most of the time it's just our flesh. And we're going to talk about flesh a little bit tonight. I hope you'll be back. I'm going to preach tonight on, if you're going to grow, some things got to go. But we blame a lot on the devils. That it's nothing more than our weak flesh giving in every time somebody in the world tugs us in a wrong direction. Claim the victory of God. He's given us power to we've already won the ultimate victory over Satan. We're saved. He knows he can't take us to hell when we die. But he's constantly launching arrows at us. Come on over here. Do this. Do that. Oh, that preacher. Oh, that church is crazy. Oh, you don't have to do it all like that. Yeah, we're supposed to obey God. And I'm cutting into a passage here, but the truth, this is the truth we need. Ephesians 6:16, God says this about us putting on the whole armor of God, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, you ain't going to win all the battles. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all. Kids like those, I don't even know the name of it now. I don't know if it's Disney or what it is, but those superheroes, those Avengers or whatever it is. Captain America has that shield and that other dude has that heavy hammer. As you grow in the Lord, and we're going to talk about growing in that, but as you grow in the Lord, you ought to be getting stuck less by the darts of the devil. They're still being thrown at you. Man, the devil, he never stops fighting against all of us. But the more you stay in church, the more you stay in that Bible, the more scripture you learn, it ought to be ding, 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 ding. I mean, you're like superhero, superpower. He says take the shield of faith. Well, the devil's really at me getting that Bible. Well, the devil's really launching at my marriage right now getting that Bible. Get on your face before God in prayer. Well, the devil's really, he's really launching those arrows at my kid right now. Hey, get in the Bible. Get on your face in prayer. You young people, get in the Bible. Stay in the Bible. Wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm saying to you this morning, don't let Satan use the temptations of your flesh to trick you into going down a wrong path for your life. Because you'll be further down that path than you want to be before you even realize that you got on that path to begin with. Look here. Here's what the devil says. Come on. Just a little bit won't hurt. Just a little while won't hurt. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. Cost you more than you want to pay. And cost others around you far more than they should have to pay. Because the devil's saying, psst, hey, over here. You need to say, no, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Believe the promises of God, heed the warnings of God, claim the victory of God. I like this verse. I know it's a resurrection chapter of the Bible, but there's application here. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Tired of seeing the devil get in and destroy people's lives. Not just teenagers, but adults also. Let's win some victories. Maybe you're here today, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Can you look back at a time and place in your life, honestly, where, I mean, that was it. That was the day you got saved. I can. June 1997, the day I got it settled once and forever. And if you can't look back and say, that's I know that's the time when I got born again, I would encourage you to come today. We have altar workers who will take a Bible, just a couple minutes time, show you how much God loves you, how He died for your sins on the cross, how you can be saved. I hope you'll be saved today. Maybe there's someone in here, you say, well, the devil's really been after me lately. I mean, he has been all over me. Why don't you come today and just beg God to help you and just rededicate your life to living for God and doing right, making right choices, staying in the Bible. Let God bless your life. I promise you, God's got bigger plans for you than you have for yourself. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.